Our reading this afternoon is taken from Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read the verses 24 to 30, and then verse 36 to 43. Matthew chapter 13, begin at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go up and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then we'll go down to the verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 43.
In Matthew chapter 13, and we read there in the verse 24 and the verse 25, we read there that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, coming into this chapter, Matthew chapter 13, we find that it's probably one of Christ's busiest days in his northern Galilean ministry. The day had begun already with him healing a man with a withered hand. And then he had went into a little house in Capernaum, and he had taught many truths there concerning the kingdom of heaven. But not tiring of his labour, we find in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 13, it tells us about Christ that the very same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside. So Christ, setting for us the perfect and example of a hard-working and industrious servant, he takes no rest from his labours as he leaves this house and he heads towards the nearby seashore of Galilee. And whilst here at the Sea of Galilee, on the very same day as we have already said, we read there in verse 2, whilst Christ was sitting there, verse 2, great multitudes were gathered together unto him. So crowds were now beginning to gather. Christ was at the Sea of Galilee. Christ and the crowds were now beginning to gather, and they wanted to hear more of Christ's teaching. And our willing Saviour, he did not disappoint. And whilst on the seashore that day, Christ, he taught many truths about the kingdom of heaven. He did this through illustrating various truths about the kingdom of heaven and teaching the people in parabolic form. And in Matthew chapter 13, we have there seven parables illustrating various truths about the kingdom of heaven. And after Christ had finished telling the first four parables, we read there that he sent the crowds away. And whenever the crowds were sent away from the seashore of Galilee, that he then returned into this house in Capernaum. And whilst he was in this house, I think it's very interesting, the disciples came to Christ that day in this house in Capernaum, and the disciples actually asked the Lord Jesus Christ for the interpretation of this parable. But remember that they had heard four parables already. Yet interestingly, They asked for the interpretation of this particular parable, the parable that we're going to consider today, the parable of the wheat and the tares. And in giving us the interpretation, Christ tells us that the sower of the good seed is none other than the Son of Man, Jesus Christ himself. The wheat, well, it's a type of the Christian. And the tare, sadly, is a type of the unsaved, the non-Christian. And the tare spoken of here in this parable, really it looked, especially at the beginnings, the start of its early stages of development, it really looked like the wheat. You would have to examine it closely to see the differences. However, whenever it grew and manifested itself just that little bit more, then it began to show that it wasn't actually a wheat. It was indeed a tare. And Christ, in doing this, in teaching this parable, he was reminding his disciples that there are those in the church of Jesus Christ, and just like the wheat, they have all the, or just like the tare, they have all the appearance. The tare looks like the wheat, and you would even mistake it for being a wheat. And there are those in the church today, and they have all the appearance, look like a Christian, act like a Christian, maybe even talk like a Christian. Yet sadly, sadly, they are not a Christian indeed. They have all the appearance of being a Christian, yet not actually be a Christian. And this afternoon I would say this to you, that just because you look like a Christian, and even use the language of a Christian, does not necessarily mean today that you are a Christian. Just because you know how a Christian walks, how a Christian acts, how a Christian talks, how a Christian looks and dresses, that does not mean that you're saved this afternoon. Just because you sit in this gathering of people in amongst Christians, that does not necessarily make you saved. That doesn't make you ready for the coming harvest, the time when Christ will return. You see, external religion, looking the part, is not the same as internal religion. It's not the same as having Christ's work applied to your heart. Having the heart completely changed. As Ezekiel called it, making the heart of stone, changing it into a heart of flesh. And I wonder this afternoon, have you come into the meeting and you're just like the tare? Just like the tare. Oh, you have all the appearance of wheat, and even looking from a distance, you couldn't tell the difference. Yet deep down, completely different. Not a wheat at all. No, a tare. And whilst I would love to speak about the wheat this afternoon, love to speak about how it develops and how it flourishes at the time of harvest and just before harvest, yet I thought it would be appropriate this afternoon to speak about the tare. And I want to consider this afternoon, for the time that remains, I want to consider the tare under a specific heading, and I'll give that to you. The tares, sown amongst good seed, yet sifted at the end. And I want you to grasp that. Sown amongst the good seed, yet sifted and separated at the end. And there are three things that I want us to think about in thinking about the tare this afternoon. And I'll give them to you now so you can just follow along. You'll know when the message is starting, you'll know when we're taking off, and you'll know when we're landing. And the three things, very simply, that I want to think about in thinking about the tares are this. I want to think this afternoon about the tares planting. The tare, it was planted. It was sown. The seed of the tare was sown. I want us also to think about the tares' progression, because the tare grew up. And want us also to think this afternoon about the tares' picking, because the tare was picked. It was picked and it was separated from the wheat. The tare, sown amongst good seed, yet sifted at the end. Then let's look firstly at the planting of the tares. You see, both seeds, they shared the same experience. They were sown in the same field. And they, whilst they were both planted in the same field, yet there were differences. There were differences between the wheat and the tare. And thinking about the tare, I want us to think about two differences about its planting. I want you to think with me about the seed of the tare. It was different, and we read about that in verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went his way. The seed that produced the wheat, notice how it's described. It's described as good seed. And in the original, the thought really here is of beautiful, the seed being beautiful, of the seed being useful and precious. The seed spoken of here, the good seed, it would have resulted in a bumper, lovely bumper harvest crop. It would have resulted in a beautiful wheat crop. And of course, wheat, well, it can be eaten. That's why we said that it was good. It was useful. It produced a useful crop. However, the tare was exactly opposite to the wheat. For the tare here, really, it's referring to what is known in farming terms is a bearded darnel. And in its earliest stages, as we have said, it's very difficult to distinguish this bearded darnel from the good and beautiful seed. Actually, it comes from a species of ryegrass. And whenever you eat this ryegrass, you would soon know about it. For whenever you eat this ryegrass, it causes nausea, headaches, and in some cases, sadly, even death. So the seed of the tare, although it looked similar whenever it was planted into the ground, it looked similar, yet it was still a completely different seed. It looked like the wheat. It had all the appearance of being wheat, yet it wasn't. It was a completely different seed altogether. You see, appearing to be a Christian is different, completely different from actually being a Christian. You might look like a Christian today. You might even act like a Christian today. But yet still outside of Jesus Christ, you're not. You're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. Yes, you're in church this afternoon, and in some ways you're enjoying the benefits, the trust of the preaching of God's word. You're enjoying the benefits of God's praises. Yet that doesn't necessarily make you a Christian. It doesn't mean that you are a Christian. You see, you are of a completely different seed to the seed of the Christian. And in speaking about having the appearances of being a Christian and yet not actually being a Christian, Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 7 and the verse 22, speaking about the end times, that many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In other words, have we not preached? Lord, in thy name done many wonderful works. Yet what did Christ say to this great mass of people? He said, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me. And Christ was reminding his disciples here, speaking about the false prophet, that yes, they preached even in the name of Christ. They prophesied in his name. And they did many wonderful works. Yet at the end of the day, what did Christ say to them? He said, depart from me. Depart from me. I never knew you. In other words, you were never a Christian in the first place. You see, whilst religion this afternoon is advantageous, it's good to come to church. I'm glad this afternoon that you're here. Yet it's not efficacious. And what that word simply means is that it's not sufficient. Religion is not sufficient this afternoon to save you from your sin. There's only one thing that will save you from your sin, and that's Jesus Christ. The only person that I can offer you this afternoon to be saved is Jesus Christ. And maybe you're in the gathering this afternoon and the Lord's starting to deal with you, and you maybe have that question, well, how do I become a Christian? Well, all you very simply need to do is acknowledge that you've sinned, turn from your sin, that's what repentance means, a complete about turn, and look on to Jesus Christ. By faith, believe that he died on the cross for your sin and accept him as your Saviour. And I wonder, has there been a time in your life when you've actually done that? When you've actually turned from your sin, looked to faith, by faith to Christ, and asked him to be your Saviour? Have you actually done that in your life? That's a very simple question. But have you actually experienced the new birth? Have you became a Christian? Or are you just like the tare? All the appearance. Oh, and even looking as I look out at this great gathering, you all have the appearance, but I wonder, are you a tare or are you a wheat? Which one are you today? You see, the British ambassador, he lives in Germany. And I'm sure, having moved there for a while, I know because I had to go see him one time. But the British ambassador, he lives in Germany. And having lived there for a while, no doubt he would adopt the culture. He would adopt the custom of Germany. Maybe he might even learn the German language, and fair play to him, for it's a very difficult language to learn indeed. But the reality of it is that the German ambassador, the British ambassador in Germany, he's still from Britain. He's still from Britain. And yes, he could have moved. He moved to Germany, and you might even mistake him for being a German. Yet, he's still from Britain. He's still from Britain. You see, looks can be deceiving, can't they? And this is exactly the case with the terror. Oh, it had all the appearances. All the appearances of being wheat, yet it was a completely different seed. Completely different. The seed of the tare. I want you also to think about the sower of the tare, likening this enemy to the devil. In verse 25 we read there, "But while men slept, his enemy came, and so tares amongst the wheat, and went his way." This man, he was the enemy of the farmer, and so he wanted to destroy the beautiful crop that would have been produced from the good seed. And he didn't want to be seen, just like any enemy or any thief. He didn't want to be seen. And so what did he do? Well, he crept in craftily, like a crafty fox. He crept in unawares at night, and he sowed tares in amongst the wheat. He came at night. He came whilst nobody was watching, and he distributed tares, not in his own field, but in the field of another. You see, these tares were there, but why were they there? They were there because somebody had placed them there. They were there because the enemy of the farmer, he had sown the tare and he had placed them in this field. So the tare didn't belong to the farmer who had sown the good seed. No, the tare belonged to the enemy. It belonged to the enemy. And grasp this truth this afternoon, that in being unsaved, in being not a Christian this afternoon, you're not a child of the Saviour. You're a child of Satan. You belong to the devil. I say that on the authority of God's word. Verse 38, when Christ interpreted the parable, what did he say? He said, "The tares are the children of the wicked one." And it reminds us that, oh yes, you might be upright, you might be moral, you may even look like the wheat, yet inwardly, deep down within your heart, you possess the character of your father. Your father, the one who has sown you, your father, the devil. It's interesting how the devil's described there, isn't it? He's described as the wicked one. And in the Greek, the idea really is of evil in his influence. Evil in his outward workings and influence in society. Now, I want you to think with me this week. Think with me. Think about how many times you personally have influenced society in a bad way. How many times this week have you been evil in your influence? You might say to me, "Well, preacher, to my knowledge, I haven't been evil in my influence." I want to ask you another question. How many times this week have you been evil in your intentions? Even having that desire to do somebody else harm. Maybe you've even been evil in your instructions. In other words, by your words. But you begin to see, as you survey your life, think about your life, think about your heart, how desperately evil and wicked you really are. And why is it? Why is it so? It is because you resemble your father. Your father, the evil one. You see, the sower of this seed, who was it? It was Satan. And so the tare belonged to the devil. And in speaking of religious Jews, Christ further reaffirmed this truth. And he said in John chapter 8, verse 44, he said to religious Jews, "Ye are of your father," get it, "the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." The people coming to Jesus Christ in that day, they were saying, "We're of our father Abraham. We belong to Abraham." And what did Christ say in responding to this, these religious people? He said, "You're of your father the devil. Yes, you might go to the synagogue, you might attend the ordinances of the synagogue, and yes, humanly speaking, your father might be Abraham, but spiritually speaking, you belong to the devil, that who has sown you this world." And they were religious, yet it says there they had the evil desires of Satan. The lusts of your father, the inward longings of Satan, that is what this group of religious people, they did. See, this evening or this afternoon, I'm not asking you, how are you externally? But I'm asking you, how are you internally? How is your heart? How is your heart before God? Because if you do not have that pure heart, then you must come to this realization that I'm a tare. That I don't belong to Jesus Christ. That I belong to Satan. And that's a solemn thing. That's a solemn thing to realize this afternoon. To realize that you don't belong to Christ, but that you belong to Satan. Do you see the planting of these tares? Yes, it looks like the wheat, but it's completely different seed. And who put them there? The sower. Aye, it was the enemy. the wicked one himself. The planting of the tares. I want you also to think secondly with me this afternoon about the progression of the tares. See, having been planted, the wheat and the tares, they both grew together in the one field. And in growing up amongst the wheat, notice concerning the tares, its manifestation as it progressed. What I'm really saying there is its appearance or its manifestation. In verse 26, towards the end of the verse, we read, "Then the tares appeared also." You see, the tares in their early stages of development, as we have said about just like the wheat, they appeared almost identical. Yet, as the growing process began to grow, in the coming of harvest time, they began to change. You see, the wheat now beginning to spring up, the seed now beginning to germinate, and the crop beginning to grow. Well, the wheat began to appear fuller. It began to appear more beautiful, more golden. And actually, the head of the wheat, it had a kernel inside of it. And as it grew, the head of the wheat actually flopped over because the head of the wheat was so heavy. However, the tares, as they continue to grow, they didn't have the heavy head of the wheat. And so you imagine in the field, you've got the wheat and the head dripping over, but then you've got the tares manifesting or appearing. And actually, they would have become more prominent in the field. As you're looking at the field, you would say, be able to see this clear demarcation. They would be able to see, there's a wheat and there's a tare. What I'm saying to you this afternoon, very simply, is this, is they became more prominent. They became more prominent. It became more obvious that it was a tare or that it was a wheat. And why did it become so? Because the head of the wheat, it was basically the wheat stalk, it was producing fruit. And the head of the wheat, it became much fuller. You see, you can imitate the follower of Christ this afternoon, but you cannot imitate the fruit of Christ. Whenever a Christian, somebody becomes a Christian, well then he begins to work in their life. And they begin to bring forth more fruit. And I would say even in that instance of the head of the wheat, the head droops over. And so it is with the Christian. As the Christian grows more in Christ, realizes more what Christ has done for him, well then surely that would lead the Christian to become more humble. Surely that would lead the Christian to grow in humility. As they think about what Christ has done for them, it would cause, as I suppose, spiritually speaking, their head to droop, just like the wheat. But that's something that if you're not a Christian, that's something that you cannot imitate this afternoon. You cannot imitate holiness. You can't pretend to be holy. You can't simply put on the life. Because when Christ grows in the Christian, it shows. And I would say to you this afternoon that if you're a tare in the meeting, then it'll begin to show. It'll begin to show in your life. Speaking about this and thinking about how we only act according to your nature, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 18, we read that a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And just as the apple tree cannot bring forth oranges, so the good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. No, the good tree, it can only bring fruit in accordance to its source. And Christ here speaking about the false prophet, he's saying that the false prophet, it's a corrupt tree. And so the false prophet cannot bring forth fruit. You see, Christ is like the forensic scientist. He will uncover every single secret in your heart. He will uncover your heart. He will examine your heart. And as he begins to examine your heart, surely you would realize, surely your sin, it would become more prominent. It would begin to manifest itself. Just as the tare was growing up and you would have been able to see, there's a tare and there's a wheat. So I'm saying to you this afternoon that there will be some sin in your life and somebody will be able to put their finger on it. And they'll be able to say, that person so-and-so, they're not a Christian. Sure, look what they're doing. And they'll be able to say that to you. I wonder, can they say that to you this afternoon? Ah, yes, you're putting on the appearance. Putting on the appearance just like the tear. Yet there'll be something in your life, and it will show to you, personally, that you are a tear. You see, the tear as it began to grow, it manifests itself. the manifestation as it progressed, I want you also to think about its maintenance as it progressed. In verse 29 we read, "But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them." You see, now that the tares were becoming developed and developing and becoming more obvious, the farmer's servants, while walking past the field, they noticed this. And so the farmer's servants, they came to the farmer and they simply asked him. They said, "Well, do you want us to go and to uproot the tare and remove the tare from the field?" However, the farmer refused. And the reason that the farmer refused was because the root of the tare actually would grow downward. And the root of the tare would grow downward and become entwined with the root of the wheat. And so if the root of the, or if the tare was uprooted, then that would also mean that the wheat would also have been uprooted. The wheat would have been damaged. And so the farmer, what did he do? He maintained the crop. The farmer, he carefully managed his crop because he didn't want to see a single blade of wheat damaged. He allowed no hurt or no harm to his precious and beautiful wheat. And this evening, Christian, isn't it good to think that you, as a wheat, that you have Christ, a loving farmer in that aspect, one who cares for you, one who wants only what's good for you, one who will not uproot you, as it were, one who only wants to see the best for you. Oh, do you see this farmer, this caring and considerate farmer? He maintained his crop. He looked after the wheat, and he made sure that no ill would come of it. But we've thought about the plantation of the tare. We've thought about the progression of the tare. The tare, it began to grow. But I want us to think lastly about the picking of the tare. See, eventually the time for harvest had arrived, and the tare, as well as the wheat, had reached full maturity. And now the farmer sent forth his reapers into the field to pick and sift the tares from the wheat. And notice this. Notice firstly, that the tares were burned. In verse 30 we read, "Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them." The farmer sent forth his reapers, but he told them not to go to the wheat first. No, they were to gather the tare first. Now the time of sifting had arrived. And you can imagine, even as being an onlooker or a curious onlooker or passerby every day passing by the field, you can imagine that the tare, they almost became part of the scenery. They also, if you would have looked into the field day by day, month by month, saw them growing, you would have almost just saw them. They would have become part of the field. But their time had came. Their time had came, and they were picked. They were picked from the field, and they were bundled then together, and they were cast into the fire. Cast into the fire, never, never to be seen again. You see, for the pretender, the last day will not be a time of safety, but it'll be a time of separation. It'll be a time of separation when the Son of Man comes, and he will send his angels to gather you. You will be taken. Just as the tare was taken from amongst the wheat, you'll be taken. You, as a tare, just pretending, just putting on the appearance, showing, just show, outward show, you'll be taken from amongst the wheat. At the second coming, you'll be taken, firstly. And just like the tare here, you'll be cast into the lake of fire. The tare was burned. But you, what will happen to you at your second coming? Your body will rise from the dust, and it will be reunited with your soul. And both body and soul will be cast into the lake of fire forever. And that's what the book of Revelation calls the second death. And I wonder this afternoon, think about it. Think about it. Realizing that you are now a tare, do you not see where the tare ends up? It ends up cast into the fire. And spiritually speaking, you as a tare, that's where you'll end up. You'll be cast into the lake of fire, cast into hell. Why? Because you deserve it. Because God is a holy God, and he must punish sin. The tares were burned. But notice also in this picking, there's a great encouragement for the Christian. Notice then quickly that the wheat, well, it was burned. Because in verse 30, towards the end of the verse, we read, but gather the wheat into my barn. And once the chaff was burned, and the field was completely cleansed and completely purged, then the beautiful and fruitful wheat, it was harvested, and it was taken into the barn. And here in the barn, it would have enjoyed all the shelter, all the safety that a barn would offer to its crop. You remember before when it was in the field, it was open to attack from the enemy, wasn't it? But now here, kept in the barn, it was completely safe. It was completely safe and sheltered from the from any storms and also from the enemy. And Christian, isn't it good to think that in Christ there is safety, shelter and calm. Whenever Christ comes again, he'll take you, as it were, into his mansions. Into, spiritually speaking, into the heavenly barn. He'll take you to heaven. And what a great thought that is. What a great thought that you'll not be amongst those who, it says in verse 42, will be cast into the furnace of fire. And it's a great thought that you'll be barned. Just like the wheat, you will be protected, calm, sheltered, just like the wheat. But I wonder this afternoon, realizing that you're like the tare, having all the appearance of wheat, yet at the end there will be this great separation. I want to finish by asking you a question, and I want you to think about this on your way home. I want to ask you a question, and that question is simply this. Will you be barned, or will you be burned? May God bless his word to each and to all of our hearts. Amen.